Steve Komperud, hand title.
Executive Vice President, Policy Directions Incorporated, which is a contract lobbying firm, and I handle food and agriculture.
And also policy analyst, commentator for Brownfield.
And proud to be. I blog inside D.C.
Well, Steve, talk about what your message is going to be here to the pork producers.
Well, it's not going to be a tremendously original message. What, you know, my point is that we have so overthought, overanalyzed, over-researched the attacks that we're getting from various activist groups that we effectively have rendered ourselves neuter. No one's listening to us. No one looks for us. No one comes to us. Yet we have these corporate standards that are being set. We have pushes for legislation in D.C. to allow for meatless Mondays. The Clay Center article in the New York Times just this past week is a classic example. We need to get off our duffs, and we need to start talking to consumers directly, not through various organizations, not through combined efforts, but directly. Farmers need to talk to consumers.
So are you suggesting open houses that they would host? How are they going to do that?
You know, it's interesting. I think if we start thinking outside the box, if we can sell the producer like a pork chop, we're going to be way ahead of the game. Open houses on farms are great. State fair presentations are great. But it has to be a constant message that the consumer is hearing consistently, that it's good food from good people, that production practices have benefits for consumers and not just farmers. And that's what it comes down to. You have to convince the consumer that what happens on farms is good for animals and good for the food product and good for the consumer. Because when it comes right down to it, not to be too cynical about it, for the consumer, it's what's in it for me.
So are you saying that these various efforts that are out there are not being terribly effective right now?
In my personal opinion, I don't think they are. Because again, we're spending a lot of time talking to ourselves. We need direct marketing messages that puts a face on the product, that equates in the consumer's mind that food product came from a real live farmer who cares.
One of the groups that I've observed doing a really nice job is a group called Common Ground with the farm wives who are going out to the supermarkets and meeting consumers and talking to them about their concerns, that type of thing?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I think our secret weapon is farm wives. Honestly, if we could get American agri-women and women in farm economics and farm wives and got them on the radio, on television, on billboards, in airports, in big box stores, talking about what their families do, how well they do it, and how it benefits consumers, we'd be way ahead of this game.
The animal rights folks, it was kind of like a steamroller there for a few years, crushing everything in their way. It seems like they've lost some of their momentum as well. Would you agree?
I think they've gotten arrogant, and that's cost them some credibility. But by the same token, they have such an advantage over us. They are so far ahead of us on this issue that we have a lot to make up. We have a lot of ground to gain. The public, I think, is getting tired of a lot of the messaging. They want something to be in favor of, not something to oppose. And I think, quite frankly, only agriculture can provide that.
Along that line, a couple of efforts to kind of fight back against the animal rights folks, Humane Watch and also Protect the Harvest that I think of. Have they done a good job, in your opinion?
I think so. But what we're doing is we're scattering our messages. We're not coordinating. And that means that only a few people will hear certain messages. And what we need to do is somehow come together in a collective manner. It doesn't mean we all have to be in one organization doing one thing, but we have to echo each other. The messages have to be consistent. The consumer has to hear the same thing no matter what quarter it's coming from.
Anything coming down the road here that we're not aware of as far as the opposition that you see coming?
Never underestimate the creativity of an animal rights group, particularly the Humane Society. One of the messages I'll deliver today is I have no doubt that the Clay Center New York Times article will engender, it's already engendered a letter from HSUS to Vilsack to shut down the meat center. Six other animal rights groups are backing it. We're going to see legislation that attacks the Animal Welfare Act, which currently exempts on-farm production as well as food and fiber research. It's going to be a consistent drumbeat that there is no reason why farmers and ranchers and the research that supports those farmers and ranchers should be exempted from federal oversight. And that's going to be a major battle in the next couple of years.
The New York Times article, I will admit I've never been to the Meat Animal Research Center, but boy, it seemed like a pretty highly sensationalized piece.
It was an interesting piece. I used to be a reporter, and when you've worked on an article for well over a year, your editor is going to ask you to justify your existence. That, I think, spells, Ken, exactly what you were saying, that it's a tad sensationalized. I don't know, and I haven't seen the information that reporter got through Freedom of Information. The one thing that struck me when I was reading it, though, was there was an attitude in the piece. When there was one quote, I shouldn't call it a quote because I'm just recalling, but there was one thing that said, you know, animal agriculture is tough. After all, we kill animals for profit. No, we don't. We kill animals to provide food. And that's not a nuance. That's a significant difference. You get into the intricacies of federal regulation of research, and Clay Center is kind of in no man's land, quite frankly. So I'm going to wait and see what USDA has to say, other than all the nice things that Vilsack has said so far. And if there's a problem, we'll fix it. If there is no problem, then the New York Times owes us an apology.